birth will be rich and full for you. What I'm going to do this evening with you is share with you a few thoughts about what the birth of Jesus means for you and for me. That would be the obvious choice, wouldn't it, this evening? That would be a good thing to do. What I want to do, however, is go in a somewhat, you might think, odd path into that place. And I just want to know, have any of you had to change any of your passwords recently? No? Oh, well, good for you. What? Well, you're not even on the internet. So that's why. Okay. Right. Right. Nonetheless, it happens, especially if you made some online purchases for Christmas. Just, you know, your password is can be very frustrating. Especially if you're using different passwords for different things, but then all of a sudden you can't remember it, or you're afraid you got hacked, something like that went on, and there you are. You have to change your password. Now, what comes up, I think, in changing your password from somewhere deep within is this. Your password that you make up is in some way some symbol, some representation of who you are. Especially if you make up some crazy password about your life, or you know what your nickname was growing up, or whatever it may be. And then they go a little further sometimes, don't they? And they ask you security questions. What was the name of my first pet? Things like that. All these things going somewhere into who you are. And that's why it can be so frustrating and aggravating sometimes, not only that you have to do it and spend the time, but that's underneath. And I was just thinking about that this week. I did have to change a password. Nonetheless, I was thinking about that this week, and it struck me that piece, that core of who I am, that's what God cares about. God cares about that very deeply. That's what God is after with us, to restore that, build it up, whatever may be needed for you. It's who you are. God cares about that more than we know. And in fact, that's why he became as one of us and became as Jesus. That's walk the earth to begin walking with us every day. Now, there's a few things that means to us. One of them is that he loves us no matter what, and his love is completely unconditional, and there's no way you can work your way out of it. Many of us are familiar with those ideas of the Christian faith. But I think that raises a question. And the question that it raises is this. If God is with you, what kind of life is that? What kind of life is it if God is with you all the time? What does that mean? How does that work? See, most of us have become somewhat accustomed to what is a little more popular version of religion among some people, where God is out there and set things in motion and step back. And if you need God, you can call on him and he may or may not answer, but that's kind of it. A lot of people in our culture believe that. And we sometimes tend to drift into that thinking, well, God's not around, or we don't even think of God at all. And yet he is with us all the time. In fact, that's his name at Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. That's what that's about. And there is a kind of life that means, that points to, that draws us into. And we see, there's two things I saw in the scriptures tonight that I want to share with you. One has to do with the actual familiar Christmas story. Some of you may have seen this already. I shared it in our newsletter today that went out. I'm not going to check to see who read it. I'll just tell you what it said. And the second thing is a bit of God being represented by his son today. So the first thing, the Christmas story, there's the choir of angels. Very familiar. Maybe you were in a choir of angels as a young child growing up. Maybe you were forced to be in a choir of angels or something during the Christmas pageant. When Carol and I lived in Phoenix, we went to the Christmas pageant at First Assembly in Scottsdale. I want to tell you, that is a mega church. And those angels, they actually had them flying out of the ceiling. I mean, the commitment of those members was beyond anything I could imagine. They were, and this was a huge building, animals all over the place, things like that. And we usually think of things like that. This choir of angels, we get a kind of a sentimental feeling. It's awfully wonderful. The angels are around, and they're singing, and there's peace on earth, and things are great. I'm so glad that they showed up. However, it was easy to miss, but there's one word in there, and it's before the whole choir of angels showed up. It's the one angel announcing the birth. And it appeared to the shepherds, and it said the shepherds were terrified. Shepherds were terrified. Well, you know, shepherds do not terrify very easily, especially these shepherds. These shepherds, they were used to fighting off lions, other wild animals to protect the flock. They didn't give up easy, but they were terrified by this. And then on top of that, this whole heavenly host of them shows up. I mean, that's beyond terrifying. And then what that meant for anyone who lived in the Roman Empire was even more terrifying. And it was this. Whenever Caesar went anywhere in the Roman Empire and visited a town or a city, the city would prepare by getting together a large choir of its citizens to sing songs in honor of Caesar as he came in. Anybody who heard the story of a choir of angels announcing peace on earth knew that there was somebody coming to take Caesar's place. Somebody was coming to take over. And that was Jesus. It's one of the main reasons that a little later, Herod slaughtered all of the young boys 2 years old and under, because he didn't want that emperor growing up. See, that's what the word gospel means. The Greek is euangelion. When a euangelion was published in that era, in that part of the world, that was an announcement of a new king coming to take over. And that's why it was called good news. So everybody, you know, they hear this story, they think, whoa, boy, this is going to be trouble. That's when the whole city heard of it all at one time. Or whatever they thought. Maybe they didn't like the Romans. They thought, this is great, which many of the Jewish people did at that time. Now, that means something for us. There's announcements into our life of Jesus saying, I am your Lord. That's his message to us. Well, okay, hold on to that one, because there's a second item that I want to point out. And in the first reading that Bobby read today, the first sentence of that from the reading from Hebrews, it says, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. Now, this is incredible to me. This entire deal that God has, it's almost indescribable. First of all, that God is revealing himself to us in the first place is almost indescribable. And what he did before Jesus came is he revealed himself to the prophets. And we begin to get an idea of what God is like, because those prophets were wild men. They were just crazy things that they did. Moses, for example, he was called the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. He'd be there with his walking stick and he could turn it into a snake. Then he'd pick it up and it turned back into a walking stick. Parted the Red Sea. this is not typical. How else would you describe it? And then let the Red Sea go back over the whole Egyptian army. Conquered the entire Egyptian army that's out to get him. One prophet. There was Elisha. Where do you start the list with Elisha? They're out doing a church work project one day, and somebody who borrowed an axe had lost it out in the lake. And Elisha says, well, that's all right. Floats it. An iron axe head floats it. There's all kinds of other things Elisha did that we would think, whoa, wait a minute. Like the time these boys were bothering him, he called bears out of the forest to devour them. This is the, where's this come from? God revealing himself to these people, and they become like this. There's something about that that is incredible, absolutely incredible. Jeremiah, for over a year, every day, laid on one side, just down on one side on the road because God told him to. And then when that was done, he laid on the other side for a shorter period of time. All kinds of things like that going on. The same God who had revealed himself to the prophets and these wild things start going on, now reveals himself through a son, through Jesus. And that just takes us a little deeper into the way things are. See, a lot of people will say, well, Jesus is like God. And, that's true. But I think it's truer to flip that and say God is like Jesus. And Jesus is God. God is like Jesus. And Jesus was also a wild man. Just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Do you remember the time he healed a blind man, restored a blind man's sight by spitting on the ground, making mud, and rubbing that mud in his eyes? At the very least, there's a total lack of decorum that we would not want in our church proceedings. But that's what he did. He's always doing things like that. There's a wildness to him, a life that cannot be fenced in, something that cannot be put into a box. There is a wholeness that is infinite, that is flowing out of Jesus, and because he's God. God is like Jesus, and that life continues to flow. And flow, and that's the life that he brings to you and me. See, often we think of Jesus as being the one who likes everybody and has us feeling okay about everything and all of that. Well, he does like everybody. In fact, he loves everybody. But he doesn't leave it at that. He's going to pour this wild, untamed life into you and me. See, it's not that he comes just to make everything all right and then give us a set of rules so that if we follow those rules, we'll be in a good place. We may not be in a good place anyway if we follow the set of rules. You might not even be out of trouble if you do that. A lot of people will think you just do what Jesus says and you'll be okay. It's kind of like spiritual fracking. You know, fracking is where you go down into the ground and you go and you get the gas and you pull the gas out so you can make some oil. Well, I mean, I don't know much about that. I just know that that's what it is. But what we can sometimes do is this spiritual fracking. You just go into the Bible, you find a principle that helps you with something in your life so you don't feel bad or feel like you're on the wrong track in that area of your life, and you pull it out. And what Jesus is saying is this: I am pouring a life onto you. I have come that you would have life and have it abundantly, more than you can hold, so that it overflows into every area of what you have. Everything that you can imagine, I am there pouring my life into it. What he does is he invites us into a life, not into a system, into something that is growing and powerful. And as he demonstrated, death cannot even stop it. Nothing can stop it. And he's pouring that into us. The kind of life that we live, where God is with us all the time, where he's Emmanuel every day, is a life that is filled, overflowing with that kind of power, that kind of mercy, that kind of ability, that kind of forgiveness, that kind of grace, all of that flowing in us and to us and through us all the time. It's not that Jesus doesn't want you to just go ahead and do wrong and it's fine. He wants to form your life to be such that it overflows with his. That you come into something like that. Now the question would be, how do you do that? How do you enter into that kind of a revelation? And I want to make a suggestion to you that you might take up a discipline. It's about a week early for New Year's resolutions, but you can consider this one. Every day, or if that's a little too often, every week perhaps, you start asking yourself a question like this. Where was I with Jesus today? When was I aware of Jesus being with me today? It doesn't have to be a day where you attend a church. It could be any day. Where was Jesus? Where was I with him? And then you could take it a step further and ask, where did I resist Jesus today? Either way, you're aware of him being around you, being with you. And just like with anybody else, you're either going along with them or you're resisting them. And that would be the same with him. As you just become aware of that and get a hold of how that works in your life, what you're doing when you get a hold of that is you're receiving the life he's pouring out. You're receiving the life that he came for you to have. You are receiving everything that he desires for you to receive so that you can go with him every day into that lifestyle, into that way of living that he provides. That's what he calls us to. And then as you go along, you begin seeing more and more of him and more of you. You begin to see that this is not a box he wants to put you in so that you, if you do the right things, you'll be okay. But this is like a huge, powerful river flowing along tremendously, and that's your life. It's like that. And it's like a whole lot of other things too. But in that river, in the middle of that place, you begin to see who you are. And you begin to see that God is with you for who he created you to be. And he wants to restore that to its fullest possible measure. With that, what I want to say to you is Merry Christmas. Christmas being the sending of Jesus into the world, which today is the sending of us in the flow of that life into the world to do all he's created us to do. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you for all that you have given us, that you have come to be with us. We ask that you would make us aware of where you are all the time and how we have been with you and even the times we've resisted you so that we may walk with you
all of our days. Amen.